A sermon up from the podium. So when I was thinking about what to talk about tonight, when I was asked to do this, I had some other things in mind actually. But we're teaching the high school class on parables, and recently we spent a couple of weeks on the parable of the sower. And as I was studying that, and as we were teaching that, I was thinking, boy, it would sure be good on some of these things here to, first of all, it'd be good to have this discussion, I think, in this group. And also, I'd love to hear your thoughts on certain aspects of this parable. So that's why I wanted to do that in this format tonight. So at the beginning, I'll probably do a little talking, and we'll do some reading. And then again, that same at the end. But in the middle, I want to just kind of guide us through some questions and get your input on that. And we may move a little quickly because I don't want to take all your time tonight. But if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll read the beginning of this parable here. This parable is actually found in Matthew 13, in Mark 4. I'll throw some of those at you because we're going to jump to some of those passages. So we'll also look at Mark chapter 4, and I'll just guide you to the verses when we get there, and then Luke chapter 8. But our focus tonight will be in Matthew 13. So let's take a look at 1 through 9 and actually look at the parable. Actually, before I did that, I did want to read one thing that I found in studying these parables. It's probably good for a setting. It reads, in the New Testament times, farming was simple. The common ground in Palestine was divided into long, narrow strips. There was no fence around the strips, but separating the strips was a path or a right-of-way on which anyone could walk. These paths were beaten as hard as pavement from the many passers-by. In many areas, the land consisted of outcroppings of bedrock, and the surface of this rocky terrain was covered with only a thin layer of soil. Ridding the ground of thorny weeds was a continual problem. If the roots escaped the plow, or if the weeds had produced seeds, a new growth of thorny weeds was inevitable. The farmer carried his seed in a bag, which was slung around his neck and shoulders. In the fall, when the long hot summer was ended, the farmer walked through the field and cast or broadcast seed upon the ground. Then he plowed the field to cover the seed, waited for the winter rain to germinate the seed, and looked forward to the harvest the following year. So keeping that little setting in mind, let's read this parable. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up, choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So we see that the sower went out to sow. I think is important, left and went out to sow, and encountered, as that seed was broadcast in those paragraphs I was reading there about how they were doing the farming and just spreading the seed out and letting it fall where it would, the seed encountered four different kinds of soil in this parable. Their seed fell upon the road or the wayside, the trampled area that was hardened, hard ground, and what happened in that situation there? I'll get the class part started. Okay, so it didn't germinate, but look closely. What happened as it laid there on the ground? The birds ate the seed, right? Something took the seed away. The rocky ground or stony ground, there was little soil, but what happened there? Something did happen with the seed there. Yeah, it came up and it grew, but... Yeah, because it didn't have any root, couldn't get the nourishment right, couldn't get the water, and the sun burned it, and it died. There was also thorny soil. The seed grew, the thorns grew along with it, and what did the thorns do? Yeah, choked it out, right? So there was a beginning of, not a crop, but at least of the plants, and they were choked out. And then there was the good soil, and that soil yielded a crop. And what was interesting about the crop that's mentioned there? Crop, I should say crops. Yeah, it was the productivity of the crop was different, right? But there was a crop, and there was fruit born. So life and growth occurred in three out of the four soils, but only one produced fruit and in different quantities. And this is interesting. This particular parable is one of just a few we have where Jesus actually provides the explanation for his own parable. So let's take a look at that now. So let's get a little more detail as we take a look at what this parable means. So if you're in Matthew 13, jump over to 18. And he's explaining the parable now. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom the seed was sown in the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So Jesus provides the explanation here of the parable, and we can learn a lot from what's explained. In this interpretation, what's the seed? The seed's the word, right? I'm going to need some volunteers for reading just real short verses tonight. So who wants to do Matthew 13:19, where we just were? Just raise them quick. Okay, Joe. And then Mark 4:14. Steve. And then Mike, why don't you take Luke 8:11 for me? Okay, let's focus this. Focus on what each one of these verses says the seed is. Who's got Matthew 13:19? Joseph?
Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside.
Okay, so hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. So the seed is the word of the kingdom. Steve, Mark 4:14.
The sower sows the word.
Okay, the sower sows the word. Okay, so the seed, what is the sower sowing? The seed? The seed is the word. And Mike, Luke 8:11. So very clear, the seed is the word of God. Consistently, the seed is the word in all three of those verses that we read. And it's interesting because the seed or the word is the one thing that never changes. It's mentioned the same in all three. But what does change? What's different in this story? The seed's constant. Yeah, the heart, right? The soils. The soils, which, and that's a good point, the soils are the heart. As the parable is explained, and it talks about the soils, when it gives the explanation, yes, it refers to soils, but it starts off by saying, the one on whom, anyone who hears the word, the one on whom, the one on whom. We're talking about people. We're talking about hearts, and more specifically, how we receive the gospel that's given to us, right? And so as we focus on this tonight for just a few more minutes, think about what the application of this is to us. Matter of fact, to think of yourself individually, as I thought of myself as I was studying this. Because I think a lot of times it's easy to read this and kind of think about everyone else and the world. And when we get to the good soil, well, that's us. You know, that's the church. That's those sitting in this room. We're the good soil. But I want to challenge you a little bit tonight to make personal application to yourself and think, can we be other soils? Are we maybe tonight other soils in our lives? Are we maybe not at the good soil position that we have been in the past? Can we slip back? Can we be in a certain area not the same soil we are in other areas, and then I would challenge that maybe we're really not the good soil if that's the case. But think about that in your own lives, and as we talk, and what I'm hoping as I generate some discussion here, that you'll give some input that we all can benefit from kind of along those lines. Let's focus on personal application. So the parable doesn't say who the sower is, but who do you think the sower is? Or what person or people or what's that? Person who preaches or teaches, right? So give me some volunteers again. I need somebody for John 3, 1 through 2. Jeff? And Mark 16, 14 through 15. Kelly? And Acts 8, 1 and 4. Not 1 through 4, but 1 and 4. Richard? And Jeff, would you go ahead and read John 3, 1 and 2 for us?
There was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that art the teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him.
Okay, so who's the sower there in that passage? Jesus, right? Okay, who's got Mark 16? Kelly, go ahead.
14, 15.
Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. Who's he talking to? Right, the apostles, right? And what were they to do? They were to go and to preach. So who is the sower there? Apostles in that particular application. Who's got Acts 8, 1 and 4? Richard.
Now Saul was consenting to his death, as the death of Stephen. Therefore, verse 4 says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word.
Okay, so Stephen was definitely a sower, right? He gave his life doing that. And then those that were scattered were preaching the word. Well, who are we talking about then? Christians, the disciples, right? So we've got Jesus, apostles, the disciples. But it's like Carla said, anyone who's preaching and teaching the word is the sower. So we should be sowers of the word. What does the ground represent? Well, we've already said that. That represents the heart, right? So let's start talking about the specific soils now. The wayside ground, or the rocky ground, has been described as the hard-packed walkway or the side between the cultivated fields, is what it says. What kind of heart does this represent, do you think? Okay. Stubborn and prideful, good adjectives. Anything else? Chris? One more time?
Hardened
heart? Yep, a hardened heart that what? Won't accept the gospel, right?
It's been filled with lies that told all of its existence. It's been told lies, it believes lies, that hardens the heart.
Yeah, and when the seed was sown, did the ground all of a sudden become hard, or was the ground already made that way? Ground was already hard, right? Because it had been trampled. So we're talking about a heart, and your heart is hardened when the opportunity to hear the gospel comes around, then that's the kind of person who's not open to the truth, right? Hasn't prepared themselves for thinking about God or having an open mind to the truth, or is not searching. The world has already grabbed a hold of this person, or this person's already given themselves over to the world. Can we be like that? Yeah, we can become like that if we're not careful. We shouldn't be, and we should know better. But we can be like that, and we need to watch for that. Joseph?
When the heart of heart goes, the way I see it a lot of times is like you're saying, a lot of times they may not start out with the heart of heart. They may have good reason. Like here it says, a lot of times they throw the seed in the wayside and start taking root, but it didn't stick. And a lot of times heart of heart is because it's emotionally easier to blame your anger or say that you may fail it out on something else instead of your own actions. A lot of times heart of heart could be because it's easier to say, well, my life's like this because of not accept the word, because the word is telling you what you want to hear, but you're not willing to hear it because you're hurt.
So sometimes those excuses that we make can keep us from receiving the word, right? That's what you're saying. And you mentioned lies. And you mentioned lies. And what does the Bible teach us that God will allow us to do? Believe a lie if we keep thinking that way, if we're not open to the truth. Chuck. So if you think if you took the opportunity, took the time to prepare this hardened wayside ground that was near the road, like the good soil, that it could become that way? Yeah, but it takes the effort. And in this case, since we're talking about the hearts, it takes our effort. Right? We have to be at least open to doing that. It's difficult to do that on our own, and the seed can lay there, and if somebody will come work that soil, and if the soil is open to being worked, then things can change. Steve?
I'm going to talk about the sower. Yeah. That doesn't tell about the heart of the sower. The sower does the work. The sower is not concerned about that. It goes into the hard ground or the rock corny ground or the good soil. He is sowing, period. So it's the attitude that they're going to do, they're going to sow, and then God does the bountiful work and blessing that he does. Yeah. So our job is to sow.
And not to judge. It seems like in this parable here, the sower isn't judging the soil, right? I'm sure he's not over there intentionally throwing all of it on the trail and on the road. But he's just broadcasting that seed, getting that seed out. Those who scattered went about teaching. Right? Just scattered it out. I like that word scattered because it kind of goes along with the parable. Dale.
I like the word callous.
Callous.
You work with your hands, like I do.
Impenetrable, yeah. Impenetrable.
Yes. Stop handling them.
Right. Good, very good.
So, but in the same token, that can change if you quit doing that kind of work. The cows will go away if you are impenetrable.
You can change your heart, right?
Yeah.
And you can cultivate your soil and be ready to accept that word. It's up to us.
Nobody makes that happen. That has to be us. We've got to make sure that we don't stay in this hard and hard situation.
Well, it's just that a person who doesn't understand the work. And outside of the hard and hard example, if I was trying to teach someone who spoke exclusively Spanish and I was speaking English, they wouldn't understand. So the seed wouldn't get someone there either. Another example I can think of is there's a movie called The End of the Spear, where these missionaries trying to teach a tribe out in the middle of the jungle, and the way they finally got through, they had to figure out how to frame it, and it was Jesus was speared and he didn't spear back, because they were, their culture was they attack us, we attack them, and so just finding a way to say it that actually penetrated through to their understanding.
Yeah.
So it's not just the hard part, it's also them being able to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, but I think in the parable here, I mean, I agree with that, and I think in the parable here, the understanding is that they won't understand, right? That the heart has not been prepared to understand. I don't think it's just that it's over their head, but that they've given themselves to the world. Let's jump to what happens next so that we see that. But before we do, Kelly.
Running into a lot of people, especially older people that were raised.
That's what happened. So let's read what the scriptures tell us. Hey, would you mind taking Matthew 13:19? And who wants to do Mark 4:15? I need a volunteer. Joe again. And then Luke 8:12. Somebody grab Luke 8:12. Jeff, would you do Luke 8:12 for me? Okay, so while they're looking at their verses there, what happened, what did we say happened to this soil when the seed came? It didn't germinate, but what specifically happened? The birds took it away, right? So let's read about what those birds are. Who's got Matthew? Kelly, you got Matthew 13:19? So in the explanation of the parables, what does it say in that verse?
When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path.
Okay, the evil one comes and snatches away. So the birds, whatever the birds are, they're the evil one. Who's got Mark 4:15? Is it Joseph? Yeah, go ahead and read that.
And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear Satan come immediately, they say the word is sown in the heart.
Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in the heart. And Luke 8:12, Jeff.
The one along the path that those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved.
So the devil's taken away the word. So there's active evil going on here in this soil, right? The evil, I don't mean the person's evil. I mean there's Satan, the devil, the liar, the father of lies, murderer, is taking away the word, actively taking away the word from a person who's got a hardened heart. I think that's like being allowed to believe the lie because the truth that keeps falling on you is taken away because you have the kind of heart where Satan can get work done, right? So we've got to watch for that. The next soil that the seed came upon was the rocky ground. And, well, before we do that, let's read real quickly, and I'll read this one. Turn over to 1 Peter 5 and 8. See if I can find it. 1 Peter 5, 8. This is how Peter describes the devil that we just talked about. Be sober of spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith. So what is the devil's actively doing things? What are some of the adjectives here that are used in the verb? What's he doing?
Prowling.
Prowling like a roaring. I have trouble with prowling like a roaring lion. You think a prowling lion would be quiet. But what else? What's he seeking? Okay? And what to do what? Seeking to devour. So Satan isn't just back passively looking for an opportunity that may be thrown his way, but actively looking to devour us. His fight is with God. And we're the pawns in that. But are we allowed to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear? So can Satan do something to us that we have no power over at all? But can we get ourselves in a situation where our heart is hardened and that's the opportunities aren't obvious to us and the truth isn't obvious to us because we're not looking for it? I think we can. It's difficult to think on these things, especially when we're trying to make personal application to ourselves. So stony places, the rocky ground. It's been described as a thin layer of soil over bedrock. What kind of heart does that ground represent? So we're looking now in Matthew 13:20 and 21. What would you say about this, or what example would you give? Okay. Gladly, right?
Yeah.
Good point. Could this be an emotional type reaction to the gospel or to the word? Maybe, I mean, purely emotional. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with emotional, but purely emotional. Maybe. Have we seen this in our lives? Have we seen this in our congregation? Yeah. So I think it's good on this one to kind of really understand what's going on here, because if we can recognize it, then maybe we can do something about it when we see it. Or maybe we can recognize the kind of heart that maybe might be susceptible to this so that we can work a little harder. Somebody who comes to us that doesn't have a background in the truth at all, maybe they're tied to another individual who's a babe in Christ, and they're visiting together, and they're here because that other person's here. But both of them are babes, or one of them is a babe, and the other one's not even a believer, but becomes a believer quickly. And then one, the babe, the original babe, falls away, or there's some difficulty, and that other one always seems to go too. You probably have somebody in your mind from your own life experience, and I'm just giving one, you know, kind of example. But can we kind of see that coming? Maybe that second person, their attendance drops off a little bit, or they're here once in a great while when they were here all the time, and we look at that and say, oh boy, that's kind of a tough situation for that person. But maybe we can, if we recognize that and we see that that's probably the heart of that person, because, and I'm probably getting too deep into the application before we talk about the detail here, but this is somebody who had immediate joy, but problems and the afflictions because of the word, they can't stand up to it because they don't have root. They don't have that depth of soil. There hasn't maybe been time to have that ground cultivated and provide more good soil there, right, to change from one type of heart to another. So the difficulties, what does it say in 21, has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary when affliction or persecution arises because of the word. Not just tough times, but because of the word. He immediately falls away. Maybe this is somebody who is here in that example that I gave and doesn't have a support system inside their own family. But we're their family. We're their new family. But they may not fully recognize that yet. And so that's up to us to recognize that, right? And help them understand that, because they have that light soil, and we can lose some people like that. Any thoughts along the lines, those lines? Yeah, Chris. God gave us free will.
But you can lead a horse to water.
Oh, that's the part I missed. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? We have that free will. But as we notice people who are in those difficult situations, and this may apply to them here, we can take the water to the horse. You know, maybe, you know, we can't make them drink, but maybe we can fill the trough. Loretta. Yeah, good point. We have to feed the babes. Yeah. So I just think it's important to learn from that. I mean, I've done a lot of looking at myself as I thought about these things, and I thought, well, I could have done more in this situation or that situation. I should have thought to do it. And sometimes you only have, you know, one or two brief opportunities at that. And we all make mistakes, but maybe we can improve. Did you have something, Kevin?
Well, I can maybe get into this point, but I guess the analogy was something like this, at least to me, that we are the farmer's field, if you will. And in that field, it's not just the same kind of ground as we're seeing here in the parable. Each of us have these type of soil types in our lives. And the gospel touches different parts of our lives differently. In some areas we may have a good ground, in some areas we may have a bad ground. And so the struggle is that we're not just one ground. We all have the same variety of ground that the gospel touches. And so some may spring good things and some may spring bad things. And that's one of the struggles with the gospel, is that it touches all of those areas.
Yeah, and I think that's I'm glad you said it that way, because I alluded to it earlier, but I think that's important for us to realize. I think it's too quick for us to say, well, we're the good soil. We're the Christians. We're the good soil in this parable. The world is these other soils. And I just don't think that's the case. I mean, I'm looking to you guys for your expertise and your thoughts too. But we can't be dismissive, I don't think, as we look at this parable of ourselves and how it applies to us. Good point. So let's take a look at, one last thought here, and we won't have time to get into it here. But Paul does compare a shallow faith to children tossed to and fro and carried about by what? Every wind of doctrine, right? Somebody who is all excited over this, and that sounds really great, and there's not a lot of soil there, and the next week they're off to the next thing, and there's no depth of soil there, and they're back and forth. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe it's difficulty like the example that I gave, where there's struggles and persecutions. But that's what the scripture here is talking about, is when the difficulties come because of that word, that person's gone. Person with that heart or with that soil. Okay, what about the thorny ground? What happened with the thorny ground? Does the seed germinate and the plant begins to grow? Yeah, but what grows with it? And what do they do? Yeah, but weed always grow faster, right? And what do those weeds do? What do weeds do to what you're trying to grow? They choke it, right? They take the nutrition out. They take up all the space. And what you're trying to grow doesn't grow well, and the weeds are growing better. So in verse 22, it says, "The one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." What do you think that means?
So, of course, you've got a guy, and there's no
Why, with this kind of a heart, why is that? Full effort of that plant, or the full effort of that soil, isn't on the corn, is it? It's, what'd you just say? The soil's feeding the weeds. What are the weeds? What does 22 say the weeds are? The cares of the world, right? As Christians, can we be too focused on worldly things? It's kind of a question answers itself. Yeah, Cliff. That's what I like about this parable, is it shows that God has a plan for us, for our hearts, and to save us from this world. We're not reading the parable of the tares, which is the one that comes next, but that shows us that the devil has a plan to fight against God and what he's going to do to us. Now, that one talks about good seed being planted and then the weeds being planted behind it by the enemy in the same field. So this one's focused on what God wants us to do and how our hearts should be, and the tares kind of talk about the fact that there is an adversary. There's one fighting against us. Joe, did you have?
Usually when I read this, I kind of think of it as a one-year process where, like, when the seed is sown, that's the only opportunity. But I really like the story you mentioned at the beginning.
Because, you know, like we talked about earlier, we can look at ourselves and see these different soils in different areas, right? This kind of, it's not an exact parallel, but this kind of reminds me of the song, None of Self and All of Thee, because it starts off that we proudly said, all of self and none of thee, and then got a little bit of the word and the truth, and then it's some of self, and oh, this is good, some of self and some of thee. And then the more you grow and learn and your soil becomes deeper and your roots take ground, then it's, well, less of self and more of thee. And then the more you mature and that soil really becomes cultivated and it's the good ground, then it's the realization that, well, really, it's none of self and all of thee. And I thought of that as I looked at these soils. It's not an exact parallel, but it kind of gives the idea of a progression and a growth and a changing from one soil to another.
These kind of soils are out there among all of you. And then I think he explains it as possible.
Yeah.
That, you know, the prophet said, you'll hear, but you won't understand.
Right. And that it's one of the reasons he speaks in parables.
That's why he's telling the people, you know, and he's telling his disciples, too, that it's not all of these people who are going to really be producing 60, 30 fold.
Right. So one of the reasons for speaking in parables is those who would misuse the information and weren't willing to honestly hear it wouldn't get it. Mary Martha.
Well, you know, in Galatians chapter 6, it talks about, as a church, the spiritual ones, in the first two verses, it talks about the spiritual ones are the ones to go and talk to these people that, you know, in their first years, it's, you know, we were talking about babes. And that first year is very important because your heart is so young. And you can go different ways because of people pulling you and ideas and books and...
There's so much out there.
There's so much out there.
And information.
We are feeded into our minds constantly. And so we need to look for that.
And it's easy for us to forget that, isn't it? It's easy for me to forget that. And not... Forget's an easy term. I don't think about it like I should.
You have to really care about people.
To be proactive about it. Yeah. Good point. Steve?
One thing about this parable is it's one-dimensional. It doesn't give you all the information. It tells you, it's talking about the way a heart receives the word. And one aspect of you, because you can apply it to, you know, more word that gets low, well, technically with the sowers, right? That would be more accurate with ones out casting a seed and seeds falling on the soil. However, there's another element I bring in Hebrews 2, I'll start reading verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved reliable, and every transgression of disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And so, I think all the connection to the heart also speaks to the effort we put into the seed that sown. You have one person who puts zero effort, and it's picked up right away. One person puts a little, but doesn't pursue it. Another person gets to the point of belief, but not to the point of conviction. And then another person is completely convicted, and that's the one who bears the fruit. And so there's more dimensions to it than just that.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to look at this. We definitely are supposed to be the sowers, but as we hear the word, we have hearts that are accepting of the word or maybe resistant to certain parts of the word, right? So what kind of soil are we? So in an effort to not keep us here too late, Let me expedite just a little bit. We'll talk briefly about the good soil. I'm glad that we focused on these others first because that was the primary. I probably tried to put too much into a short period of time, but I want to end with some things that I read. So as we talk about the good ground, just think about this. In Matthew 13:23, it talks about that these hearts being the ones who hear the word and understand it. In Mark 4:20, they hear the word and they accept it. And in Luke 8:15, hear the word and hold on to it. And I like, it's talking about the exact same thing, but I like the different words it uses there. Understand it, accept it, hold on to it. There's a progression there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the different words that are being used. Understand, accept, hold on, maintain, be faithful. It's an interesting point of that progression. I imagine that is intentional. But this kind of heart has been worked on, right? Cultivated, prepared. This is the soil that's cultivated, prepared. The stones are taken out. The weeds are kept on top of. It requires action and forethought. So we have to prepare our hearts and be ready to accept what we know is the word. And this is the soil that bears fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. Are we all responsible to bear the same amount of fruit? No. Because God expects of us the opportunities that he's given to us, right? That's our responsibility, opportunity plus ability. Heard that said. So, and I'm hitting this one too fast, but I want to end with this. We'll count this as this summary and then what I'm going to read from some words from Mark Copeland as the invitation. So when I'm done reading in John, then we'll stand and sing the invitation song. The lesson summary compares four kinds of ground and soil to four different attitudes toward the will of God. Word of God, excuse me. The word's the same, like we said, right? But the hearts are different, and the hearers are different. Some have hearts that have hardened, the wayside and the road. Some receive the word with joy but lack the commitment or quickly lose interest. Maybe that's emotion without any foundation behind it. Or our faith is too weak to endure the tribulation that arises because of that initial commitment to the word. And that is, and that's the rocky ground. And then the thorny ground. Some hear the word but won't bear fruit because of the love of worldly things, because of the cares of the world, the love of wealth, the focus on the pleasures of life. One of the things that we skipped there is I wanted to really make some application on this thorny one because we can let our daily lives or our situations or our, you know, if we start getting specific, our grades, our how we're performing at our job, our retirement, account balances, you know, those kinds of things in life, let them kind of take over and distract us from what we know we should be doing, right? And from what our focus really is in life. It's not that those things are evil. I was going to read the verse about the love of money is a root of all evil because it goes along with what was said here. Not money, but the love of money or the placing of those things of this life above in any kind of competition, even if they're not above God's word in our mind, but just in some sort of competition with it, if it distracts us at all from what we should do with the word and how we should be servants, then it's a problem. Okay, so the application of the parable, I'm going to read this. This isn't doesn't originate with me, and I'm going to end this by reading John 15, 1 through 9. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, you can. This is actually from the executable outlines from Mark Copeland. And I liked how he ended. I actually didn't use a lot of his stuff in preparing this, but I liked what he said here, so I wanted to take it. Are you like the good soil? If you have responded to the gospel and are bearing fruit, then you have demonstrated several important things. You have a good and noble heart. You have come to understand the word. You've been keeping it with patience. And so the word of God has been able to produce its intended effect in you. However, are you like the wayside? If you have heard the gospel of Christ in his kingdom but are not yet a Christian, you may be in the process of hardening your heart the longer you wait. You are susceptible to Satan's deception in some form to blind you and not allow the word of God to have its intended effect in you. Are you like the stony ground? If you responded to the gospel at one time but are not being grounded in the faith, you may fall away when persecution or temptation comes your way. Are you like the soil among the thorns? If you responded to the gospel at one time, but are becoming too preoccupied with the cares, with the riches, and the pleasures of this world, you will not be able to bear much fruit. Remember what Jesus said about the branches that don't bear fruit. And so let's read that, and this will be our invitation. And I need to get there. John 15, 1 through 9. And after this, we'll stand and sing the invitation song. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Let's stand and sing the invitation song, and if you have any need, make it known. Come forward.
Jesus, but lost is thy heart right with God. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and holy, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion? Self and or sin, is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord in heaven, we just come to you in prayer at this time through your Son. Thankful for this day that you've given us to